And welcome to the Running Anthropologist Podcast, covering the culture of running and exploring every corner that we can find. Episode number 58 and going strong. I think you're really going to love Tom Dean today. Tom Dean tells us all about his journey in running, including being a publisher of some amazing, amazing athletes who tell about their journey and their spiritual life and how they combine. In this case, Ryan Hall, in his book that was recently published, kind of an autobiography of his life and running, Run the Mile You're In, Finding God in Every Step. And Sonia Richard Ross, Chasing Grace. So you've got the marathoner and you've got the quarter miler Olympian. But Tom Dean himself has an amazing life story and amazing journey in the past few decades, reaching for that 1,000 miles a year and continually challenging himself in running, in publishing, and in his faith life. I think you'll really get a good perspective of that in our interview. Today we're going to talk mostly about what he's done, but also about, you know, for example, his Hood to Coast endeavor, one of the most popular group endurance events. It takes place out in Oregon every year, and yeah, they run the Hood to Coast, but he'll tell you more about that. He'll also tell you some of his favorite places to run, some tips for running while traveling, which he does a lot, and how to set attainable and reasonable goals when you have face challenging situations or have something that you're reaching for in running and in life. Among those, paralleling his passions with his spirit. And yeah, it's going to be great. I'm so grateful you came. As a reminder, you can reach out to us at runninganthropologist.com or at runninganthropologist on Instagram and Facebook. If you have ideas about covering running culture, people that inspire you, please share with us and please share these episodes forward to those that you think would enjoy them. In next week, just a week from today, we'll feature Coach Glenn. Coach Miller has been with Team for Kids in the New York Marathon coaching for a few decades now, and he's got some insight about the New York Marathon and what it takes to motivate people to their first marathon, especially New York. So I hope you join us for that one as well. Without further ado, let's get started. And welcome to the Running Anthropologist, where today we're hosting Tom Dean, and he's been an inspiration for many, including myself, in the amount of miles that he's done and also his relatively new entry to long-distance running. And he's also kind of a hallmark in Christian publishing and inspires people in that way, too. So thank you for joining the Running Anthropologist.
Hey, Mark. It's great to... Great to be with you today.
Well, I want to start off by asking you probably the thing that's most fresh on your mind about your recent running. But before we get to that, the Hood to Coast and the Grand Rapids marathon, half marathon, I want to begin by asking you, as I do everyone, about your running roots and your running journey. Ooh. So yeah. How did you find your way from, you know, professional life and publishing to really being obsessed and engaged in the running community?
Yeah, obsessed is a great word. I mean, that's pretty accurate. Some people would call it an addiction, but, you know, I guess there are good addictions, right, and bad addictions. I think, you know, my obsession with running, honestly, probably started when I was pretty young. I had an older brother. My oldest brother, Larry, was a runner in high school and ran, you know, was a pretty successful cross-country runner. And so he would, you know, I come from a family of eight kids and there were six of us boys, and he was always trying to, you know, get myself and my younger brothers running. And it never really stuck. I mean, it just didn't stick. And then, you know, fast forward, like 20, 30 years later, when I turned 40, went to the doctor for an annual checkup, and he's like, hey, your cholesterol is kind of out of whack. Like, it was pretty high. And I was eating fairly healthy, but I had like zero aerobic or anaerobic, you know, exercise in my life. So he's like, you got to find something to get the heart moving. And I thought, well, my brother Larry's a runner, and I had a younger brother, Daniel, that had also had some, you know, picked up running in high school and college. And I'm like, okay, if they can run, maybe that's me. So, you know, it was like one time around the block, and then the next day, two times around the block. And then pretty soon, you know, I signed up for a 5K, and then, you know, I guess you could say the rest is history. But so really it was, I mean, for health reasons, I didn't want to, you know, I didn't want to take drugs, you know, to lower my cholesterol. I thought, let's see if we can do this naturally. So that's kind of where that comes from.
And that you said you were about 40. So it's been
right.
Almost 20 years on this running journey.
Right.
And I know since then you've had several years that have been 1,000-mile years. How did you build up to that? And how do you fit in that many miles and consistently do that? And particularly in a cold weather climate like Michigan, what is that like?
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, the old adage of you eat an elephant one bite at a time, I think applies here. And you know, 12 years ago, I don't know, I just had this, you know, I'm a goal setting kind of guy. So, you know, first of the year I was thinking about, you know, spiritual goals and, you know, professional goals and, you know, physical goals. And I thought, and I, you know, I'd been tracking my miles. This was actually before, this might've been right when GPS watches were really taking off. But before that, I'd been tracking my miles in a log, like, you know, after the end of every run, just writing down. And then I saw, hey, you know, I'm running like 800 some miles a year. What if, you know, like, what if I ran 1,000 miles? Like, could I do that? And so then I just figured it out. That's like 83 miles a month.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right. Like, I live in Michigan. So, you know, come December, January, February, it can get pretty brutal, but I've always been, I, you know, the treadmill is not, it's just not for me. And so I would say that a majority of those 1,000 miles a year have been outside, like 95% probably.
Wow.
And it just became an obsession. Maybe again, here's that word. Like, it was a goal, right? And you set a goal that's smart and realistic and measurable and attainable, and I just went after it. And, you know, again, tracking all those miles, and there were years you'd get to December and you're at 950 miles. And there's been years I've got to December and I'm at 900 miles. So I'm like, I got a lot to do this month, but having that goal keeps me focused. And it is really just tracking it week by, you know, day by day, by week, by month. And, you know, halfway through the year, I'm always like, okay, where am I against my goal? And, you know, adjust and shift and make sure that you just keep after it.
Yeah.
And it means like running in the morning or at noon or after work, whatever, you know, you just do it to get it done.
I, you know, there's something beautiful about that, having that long-term goal, because I find a lot of people in running will set the marathon goal or the ultra marathon goal.
Yeah.
And they'll train for that and they'll get there. And then it's kind of a letdown because there's nothing beyond that. You know, they're just kind of training for the race. Whereas your distance goal really keeps you motivated. Do you find that that's an effective thing for you to get up and go running several times a week? How often do you run a week to get in those miles?
Yeah. So, I mean, that, you know, if you do the math, you know, that like 83 miles a month means you've got to have 20 mile weeks on a pretty consistent basis. It totally keeps me motivated. But, you know, I mean, outside of the 1,000 miles a year goal, I mean, running is a way for me to, I mean, I don't run with music. A lot of those miles are run solo. And so it's a way for me to process, you know, what are the things in my business that I need to think through and work through and pray through? It is a time for me as a follower of Christ to like pray and listen to God and, you know, think about people that I, especially people I know that are my running buddies, like, hey, you know, praying for them. It's great to have the goal, but it's, you know, it's the spiritual rewards. It's the physical rewards. It's the mental and emotional rewards, frankly. I mean, I try to run 4 to 5 times a week. So that's, you know, 4 shorter runs and 1 long run on the weekend. Hmm. Most, like, that's a typical week for me.
Yeah, spreading the miles out. So four short runs and 1 long run. That seems right to be. And do you do a lot of, basically, are you just going for distance, or are you doing some, are you mixing it up with, like, tempo runs or repeats, yeah, or things like that?
Mm-hmm. Yep, I do try. I'm not, like, this is an area I need to work on, you know, like a track workout. Try to do that once every couple of weeks, you know, because I realize that for my 5K times to get better, I've got to, you know, continually work at, you know, some speed workouts. And I try to keep my long runs in the 8 to 10 miles, you know, just so I know that if a half marathon popped up a month from now, I could probably roll into that. Hmm. As long as I can keep that consistent, you know, long run in that 8 to 10 miles every week, 8, 9, 10 miles. Yeah.
Yeah. That's really interesting, because you hear a lot of different theories about how people do their training cycles and what mm-hmm. they're working towards. But I'm very similar in my approach, in that I'm really not trying to work towards any particular race usually, but I'm just kind of staying in that long distance zone where I can build up to a race if one comes up that I'm excited about.
Right.
And it boggles my mind. I'm sure that you talk to and work with a lot of people that are in the marathon and ultra marathon world who really are very disciplined about that routine of building up to a certain race. And I have a hard time doing that, and maybe it's just my mentality or my schedule. So it's nice to hear someone else who has a similar approach.
Yep, for sure.
Do you, so on those winter runs, cause there, I know we have some listeners who may be moving to cold places or are trying, haven't figured out the winter running. What is your magic that allows you to run through that cold season?
Yeah, outside. It all comes down to layers, right? I mean, because I get asked that question all the time from people that are fascinated by the fact that I run outside year round in Michigan. It's like, it's also, use your sensibilities too. Like, if the wind chill is below zero, okay, probably not, right? But, you know, I'll run if the temps are in the single digits. You know, just, it's all about protecting the skin. It's about layers. It's about having the appropriate, you know, gear on your shoes. You know, I use Yak Tracks, okay, for traction if it's, you know, if there's some icy spots. I mean, that's probably, the cold doesn't bother me. What's more annoying is the best word, are those sloppy, slushy, snowy, you know, roads that aren't cleared. I mean, that's the, you know, then your shoes are wet and it's, you know, who wants that? I don't know any runner that's like, I always love running with wet shoes and socks.
Us normal runners, I guess maybe it's kind of ideal conditions thing, but I tend, when I go back to Michigan to visit or to run in the winter, I tend to wait until I know the roads are cleared or the sun is out. And obviously you can't always do that, but that's ideal. All right.
Yeah, so that's tougher to do in Michigan those sunny days are, you know, those are hard to find in the December, January, February timeframes. I mean, that's, you know, yeah. So you do have that, like, that adds complexity to it for sure.
Yeah. And what are some of the things, Tom, that you mentioned, your faith, you mentioned the desire to kind of get out there and be with your thoughts, pray for others. It's kind of a spiritual reprieve for you. What are some of those things, like on a day-to-day basis, that, say you wake up in the morning, I know you want to get out and run in the morning. What are some of the practices that really motivate you or get you engaged, put you in that spiritual zone?
Yeah, that's a great question. Right now I'm reading through the Psalms, the Old Testament. I read one a day. I've got a devotional I read alongside that, and try to start the day that way. It's just a good way for me to be centered and think about the day. And I don't, and there are times when I do run in the morning, and I like that because it's fairly quiet, and that's also just a really good time. That's a good way to like reflect, think about the day. But most days I'm running in the middle, like at lunchtime, because I own my own business. I work from my home office, and so I've got that flexibility. And I love just being able to break up the day with the with the run in the middle of the day. So, I would say that's where the majority of my runs are middle of the day, but on occasion I do love those morning runs too, especially in the summer when I know it's going to be a hot and humid day. Like let's knock it out first thing when the when the temperature's a little more comfortable.
Yeah. Oh, that's great. And are you running most of your runs in the Grand Rapids area?
Yeah, I am. I mean, one of the great things about my work is that I do travel some, and unlike some other sports, let's just say golf or whatever, I'm not having to lug a lot of extra gear when I travel. I've got the short, I've already got the running shorts and the running shirt and the watch, and it's just, and the running shoes. So it's so easy to travel and then, run wherever I am. I'm headed to Arizona this week. I'm going to run in Arizona, and then I'm off to LA, and I'll run in LA. So it's so easy to be able to like pack those few things. But most of my runs here are, I'm my neighborhood. There's a trailhead right at the front of my neighborhood, so I'm super spoiled. And I could run, for days once I hit that trail, which is great.
Oh, that's awesome. That's funny you mentioned that. That was kind of one of the reasons that we started Running Anthropologist, exploring the culture of running, but also kind of that idea that you have your running shoes, you can explore any place that you go.
Totally.
It doesn't even have to be a destination race, right? Like you're traveling for family or friends or business, and you just explore that place you're in and get a sense of it through your running. I guess I'd like to ask you about some of your travels to run, including the most recent, the big one, the Hood to Coast. Let's start with that. What was that like for you? And I know it's a unique experience. I've never been there. Could you describe it a little bit?
Hood to Coast is kind of like the mother of all relays. If you haven't heard of it, just Google it. But it's a 200-mile relay that starts on Mount Hood in Oregon. Mount Hood is, east of Portland, about an hour and a half. And then you run from Mount Hood west to the ocean, to Seaside, Oregon, where so the finish line is right at the ocean, the Pacific Ocean. And I mean, it's a lottery to even get in as a team. You have to, send your entry form in. It has to be postmarked on a certain day. And the team organizer, a friend of mine from church, he asked me to be a part of it, and we were scheduled to run in 2020, and then they canceled it and put it ahead to 2021. So we actually, it was a reality here this past August. And most teams are 12 member teams, and so there's 36 legs, and every team member runs three times. We wanted to we're a little insane, and so we said, hey, we want to do it as a six member team. And so Hood to Coast said, hey, that's fine, you can do that, but you're going to be you'll be in a category with all other 12 member men's submasters teams. And we're like, that's fine. We weren't going to win, a prize. We just wanted to go do it for the experience. And it was an epic experience. So you start, we started at 2 o'clock on Friday and we ended about 5:30 on Saturday afternoon,
Wow.
26 and a half hours. We run, you're always, somebody's always running. There's one driver and then the six runners in a 15 passenger van. And it was a technical course. I would say we were surprised at how technical the course was as far as hills. But it was, I mean, it was just an amazing adventure.
Wow. So what is, you may have mentioned this, what is the total mileage, and then what mileage does each team member run?
Yeah, so total mileage is 200 or 199 miles, I think. It's like it's 200 miles, let's just call it what it is. And then, because we were a six-member team, each of us ran six legs. I actually ran five, and then one of the team members ran seven. So your total, like my total mileage was, I think, 24, 25 miles. And I think all the other guys were like around 30 miles or into the low 30s. So I pulled the old man card. All the other guys were like in their 30s. One guy was in his 40s. I'm like, hey, I'm pulling the old man card. I'll run five legs. So they were very generous to allow me to do that. So yeah, you're running, you run your leg. It could be 4 or 5 miles. You hop in the van, the next guy goes, and you just keep moving down the road. So there's never really any sleep. There might be a few cat naps. So that adds to it. You're really just kind of running on adrenaline. But the cool thing was our overall pace at the end was 8:01. So we're pretty pumped
Wow.
about that.
Wow.
Yeah.
'Cause essentially you're each running a marathon and you're running it at 8 minute
Right.
pace.
Right. Right. Yeah.
That's incredible. And so you're the entire team is with you in the van and you're kind of near your teammate as they run.
Yeah, not necessarily. So the road, to the next transition point may not be like following that runner exactly. I mean, for the most part it is, but there are some places where you're pretty rural between like Portland and Seaside, Oregon. So you'll always have a cell phone on you when you're running in the night. You've got, lots of visibility gear, flashers and a headlamp and flashlight if you want it. So, I mean, you take all those safety precautions for sure.
Now, it sounds like you had an awesome team too.
It
Was there
was.
any logic in who you chose or how you assembled your team, Tom?
Well, I think there was a core of us that, I think there was three or four that we were solid. We knew for a year we were doing it. But then there was a lot of reaching out to buddies, in the last few months leading up to it. Like, hey, we were trying to get eight people so it wouldn't be so miserable for just six. But we ended up with six and we're like, okay, we're going to go for it. So, yeah.
Oh, that's great. Yeah, and having an extra year to look forward to it. I don't know about you, but it really adds to my joy when I have a little bit of anticipation there of the next
Totally.
event. All right, cool. Well, that's Head to Coast. I've heard it's absolutely breathtaking and beautiful terrain to run through. So,
Yeah, yes.
all right. So other travel places that you traveled to that you've ran that you'd love to share with
Yeah.
others that you would recommend.
Yeah, there's two. I mean, there's several epic. I mean, anytime I'm in New York City, I run Central Park because it's, I don't know, it's just one of the epic places to run. Anytime I'm in Chicago, I run the Lake Shore. I stay downtown and I run the Lake Shore. Anytime I'm in Orange County or Southern California, I run the San Diego Creek Trail. It's just a beautiful, any time of the year, especially in Orange County, is beautiful to run. So those are the three that like immediately come to mind. Central Park, downtown Chicago, Lake Shore, across, right by Lake Michigan, and then Orange County, California.
That's beautiful. I do not share the third one, but the first two I can corroborate. Especially when I lived in Chicago. As you know, I grew up near Chicago in Michigan and
Right, yeah.
have ran that route and the Chicago Marathon a few times. And it's just like you said, it's absolutely beautiful place, unique place to run. So, Thank you for sharing those top three. Now, I did also want to ask you about, and I'm sure that you spend most of your day talking about this, but how do you connect your running to your work in Christian publishing, and what is that, what kind of connections has that brought for you in the last couple decades of your life?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. I can think of several, as I for about 19 years, I was on Team Zondervan. Zondervan is one of the largest Christian publishers in the world. And the last 6 years I was there through 2020, I was the VP of marketing for Zondervan Books. And so I had a few passion projects that I went after. One of them was a book with Ryan Hall. I'd been a huge hero, kind of a fanboy of his for a long time, and had been talking to him for actually for about 10 years off and on. And it finally we got to a point where he was ready to write his, I call it his memoir. The title was Run the Mile You're In. And so it was really, really cool for me, just personally and professionally, to be able to say, to work alongside with Ryan as he wrote the book. And then as we brought the book to market, marketing the book, I went with him to the Boston Marathon where we promoted it. We did some other promotions together. So, yeah, it was just one of those, again, like I've made a lifelong friend with Ryan now. We communicate back and forth quite a bit. Another cool project I worked on was with Sonya Richards Ross, Olympic runner, and she, wrote her memoir as well. So that was a fantastic project. And then one other book that I got to work on was with Ida Keeley, who some people may recognize that name. She is she I don't you know what I don't know if she's still living, but like at 103 she was the fastest woman alive in like the 400 meter dash. So she had a she's lives in New York. She had a fascinating story, and that project came to us. We didn't actually chase that project, whereas we kind of chased Sonya Richards Ross and Ryan Hall. But those are three just kind of running related books I worked on in my career. The people I work with, they pretty quickly get to know about my obsession with running. A lot of people, in my professional world, love to chat about it, talk about it, are fellow runners. And so that gives us, it's a connection point, right? Like, it's something that, we can talk about our business, but then there is that personal side to what we love to do, and that it just creates a really nice connection point. So I do, it's not like I go seeking for people that are runners to work with, but when it happens organically, it's always a cool thing.
Oh, that's awesome. If you so I know this is really, really hard to do, but for those that have not read those few books that you mentioned, what if you had to give a teaser or just kind of a maybe not even that, but a quick kind of citation about what someone would get out of reading it, what it was about, how would you characterize the books with those few runners that you worked on?
Yeah, I think there's one common denominator with all three of them, and that's inspiration. Like, if you want to be inspired in your running journey, pick up any of those books. I mean, there's just so many good running books, but those are three that have really kind of impacted my life: Ryan Hall and Sonya Richards Ross, and Ida Keeling. But there's others. There's Meb's book, Run to Overcome. I'm looking at my bookshelf right now. Like, there's other. I think any running book. I mean, if you go in with an open mind, like what am I going to take away? That's always what I encourage readers to do. But I find that any running book I read, it's typically I walk away and I'm just inspired to keep running, to keep, talking to people about running, to keep encouraging. Like one of the great things I, after almost 2 decades of running is I do have a lot of first-time runners that reach out to me either via social media or their, you know, personal circles. And they just want advice, like, where do I go buy shoes? Or I've got this injury, what do you think? And I'm not a doctor. I can just tell them, hey, this is what I've done, or this is what I get questions about nutrition a lot, or goose, like I'm a honey stinger ambassador. So they're like, tell me more about this honey stinger product. So, I mean, ultimately, I think if you can go into reading a book and just with an open mind, that's the important thing. But I read a book and I usually come away, I'm inspired to keep running, to keep talking about running, to keep cheering on, you know, new runners. Hope that helps. Does that make sense?
Yeah, no, definitely. And not having the breadth of experience that you do, I would also add that, there's something that makes people keep going, and to learn that about some of the best, including Ryan Hall, for him, it's been his faith and kind of his values and what he cares about in the world. And then it makes you question, you know, what do I care about? What keeps me going? And can I see myself, following that trajectory or setting goals like this person has set? And, you know, what do I care about most? Kind of whittling things down a little bit in your life.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that I loved about, at least for Sonia's book and for Ryan's book, is they both talked about failures, defeats. I mean, Ryan had a DNF at a, you know, Olympic marathon. I mean, like, how debilitating could that have been? But he didn't allow that to, you know, he didn't allow that to defeat him. It's made him a better runner. I mean, he's coaching now, so, you know, you have to believe that that's made him a better coach as well. He's relatable, right? Like, he hasn't had all successes. He's had failures. He's had times where he's fallen down. And so, you know, normal people like you and me, we can relate to that. And I think that's what, you know, that's what also helps a reader find inspiration in a book, is that it's not just all the highlight reel of this person's life.
No, that's definitely true in my own experience as well. Tom, I know that your time is limited, and I've been peppering you with questions. I'd like to just kind of open up to advice or words of wisdom from your own toolkit that you might offer to someone new in running. You had briefly mentioned mm-hmm. that sometimes people come to you. What is the thing that you most often share with them, or even someone old to running that's struggling sure. with a new goal?
Yeah, sure. Well, I kind of mentioned this already, but I think that, like, the most important gear for a runner, there's two things. Like, invest in a great watch and invest in good shoes. I love my local running store, Gazelle Sports, here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. They will, you know, a new runner, they'll hop you on the treadmill. They'll do a gait, G-A-I-T, gait analysis. They'll help you get in the right shoes. If you wear those shoes for 2-3 weeks and they're, you know, they're not working, bring them back, get a full refund, get the right shoes, right? So hopefully, you know, especially for that first time runner, find a professional running store to make sure that you're in the right shoes. And then, you know, the right watch. My wife bought a Garmin for me, I don't know, like it was maybe 12 years ago. It was like one of the nicest gifts ever. And so I'm a huge Garmin fan. I've, you know, through the years, just got, you know, picked up new watches as new models came out. So that's the first thing I'd say. The second thing is, yeah, the whole, make sure you set a goal. Like, I don't care if it's just a goal of, I want to run, you know, 10 miles this month. Make sure it's realistic. Or if you're starting to run and you need a race, find a local race, find a 5K. I mean, that's what I did. That's what really kept me motivated early in my running career, was those 5Ks, and then, you know, eventually I worked up to a 10K, and then I worked up to a 25K, and then it was a half marathon, and then a full, like my first full marathon was at the Chicago Marathon, I think in 2006. So, you know, figure out what motivates you as far as a running goal, and then go chase it. I mean, nutrition is super important. I think, you know, figuring out how to best fuel before a run or, you know, post run. You know, there's so much. I mean, Runner's World is a great resource. I'm a huge fan of Runner's World. I still get it every month. And so, you know, get a subscription to Runner's World magazine. You won't be disappointed. They have, you know, I love Runner's World because they do have tips for new runners, but also for experienced runners. So those are some of the like first things that come to mind.
No, that's all great advice. And kind of putting yourself in the middle of the community is a lot of what I heard from all of those pieces of advice.
Yes.
Learning from others and just being open about, yeah, I don't know this, so I'm going to learn it. And that's some of the joy too, right? Is just all those things, all those new things that you have to learn and share with others.
And I think, you know, I never set out to do this. Like, this was never a goal of mine, but, you know, I've mentioned it several times as over the last, I don't know, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 years, it's so great to be able to have new runners come to me, and they're like inspired by what I'm doing. And so, you know, I would say that to a new runner, like, hey, look down the road 5 or 10 years, stay after it, keep after it. You're going to be inspiring somebody that, you know, is in your shoes today, 5 years from now, 10 years from now. So, you know, hopefully people I find joy in that. I find satisfaction in that. So I would hope others would as well.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Tom. That's great advice. And it's something that we all have to look forward to, I think, as runners, is passing on our knowledge and our inspiration. And you do that a lot. So I'm grateful for you, and I'm grateful to be able to follow you and hopefully someday run with you in an event in our home state in Michigan.
I love it. I'd love it.
All right. Well, Tom, thank you so much for your time, and we look forward to reading your books, and we will share all of those out on our social media, as well as any other recommendations and information that that we have. And people can find you, of course, at Thomas Dean on Instagram, and find your publishing website, which is, would you mind sharing that with us?
Sure. Yep. It's adropofink.pub, adropofink.pub, adropofink.pub.
All right. We'll share that out on our blog site as well. So thank you again, Tom, and keep up the good work. Happy running.
All right, Mark. Thanks. Happy running to you.
Thank you. And thank you so much for joining us on the Running Anthropologist today. It's been a great journey this short time talking to Tom Dean. I hope that you'll check out his publishing, Drop of Ink, and future books for running inspiration, including the ones we talked about today. And if you have a goal or you have something that you're reaching towards, share it with us. Let us know on our Instagram or Facebook page. You can also submit to us what you found inspiring if you had a recent goal that you met, and who you're following in running culture, we'd like to learn. And for future episodes, once again, next week, Team for Kids, one of the biggest charities running for the New York Marathon. They provide shoes and training and coaching and free races for kids in needed areas across the country. They help get them moving, just like us, get us moving. And the New York Marathon is coming up and will be in little over a week, so that'll drop just before the New York Marathon, and hopefully those who are running inspire them a little bit. We wish you luck, and until next time, happy running.